Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you.
Today's guest has a remarkable story that has touched thousands of people around the world. It's a story of hope, healing, second chances, and the incredible possibility that life continues beyond this one. Kathleen Reddy Dayan is the creator of what she calls the spirit fiction genre, but her inspiration comes from deeply personal experiences that changed the course of her life forever. From battling alcoholism to an extraordinary encounter with the spirit world, Kathleen's journey led her to discover mediumship, spirit guides, past lives, and a completely new understanding of why we're here. Whether you're curious about the afterlife, fascinated by reincarnation, or simply looking for comfort after losing someone you love, I think you'll find today's conversation both uplifting and thought-provoking. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Kathy. Welcome, Kathy, to UK Health Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Janine.
So I've been doing some delving into what you do. So your story is really extraordinary. But can you take me back to the very beginning where it started?
I can. Looking back over now, it's decades, you know, since this all sort of began. But in the beginning, as a young person, I was an alcoholic. And I was in my 20s. I was 26 years old. I was in a very, very dark place. I was, you know, depressed and not functioning well at all. And was actually told that I was, you know, on the brink of death at, you know, the way that I was just poisoning my body. Yeah. And, you know, one night, now every night I would, just to give you a little backstory here, every night I would drink so much that I would pass out. That's how really sick I was. And during one of these nights, I had this extraordinary event, what I thought of as a dream at the time. And I really wasn't dreaming much back then because, you know, when you're so intoxicated, not much gets through. But I had this experience where I saw this woman come to me, this beautiful woman, and just this like extraordinary presence. And she was just very peaceful and loving, and she knew me. I didn't know her in the dream, but I saw her and I felt comfortable. She came to me and she showed me this landscape. It was like I stepped in with her and we were looking out on this landscape that is not exactly unearthly because a lot of the things were the same. There were these beautiful like valleys and flower gardens and bodies of water. And I mean, I was just staring at this and it was, you know, the color, there were more colors than there are here. And there were, you know, different kinds of plants, things like that. But beyond that, it felt natural. It felt very natural to me. And I stood with this woman looking out and we had a conversation. I wish I could tell you what the conversation was. I don't remember any of those details. I know that something was resolved upon. There was a purpose for her having me and speaking to me. And we sort of, you know, came to a decision. And, you know, I wake up the next day and I'm thinking that is really crazy strange. And what was that, you know? And an interesting thing happened. Two or three days later, I was watching a news show in the morning and they were interviewing this mom and her son who had been in a car accident. And the little boy had been, they had, you know, thought he was dead from the car accident. And he came back. And during the time he was brought on the show to talk about his near-death experience. And he started out by saying, this beautiful woman named Elizabeth came to see me. And, you know, I could have fallen off my chair because that was what I remembered. Is Elizabeth was her name, and she was there to help me, and she was so warm and so beautiful. So shortly thereafter, with help from a family member, I did end up getting into a rehab, and I spent 2 months there. Really had to do a ton of work to get to be have like a healthy, normal life. And that's the path I've been on ever since. But I mention all this primarily because I think there was some kind of intervention there. I mean, that's the way I see it now.
Yes, you know, near end death, and she came to you. So when you were sleeping that night or whatever, that's when she came. So that was, it's wonder how spirit, like, it just gives you that nudge and then gives you that synchronicity, doesn't it? So that you.
Yes. So I'm very grateful to this spirit, Elizabeth, that she changed my course, my life. And I think that I had a certain, you know, path laid out before I got here. And I was off that path. And there was a, you know, intervention because of that. And also, Janine, after that happened, within a year or so, I started having these little clips of dreams right as I was falling asleep. It took a while for me to understand this. I was not particularly tapped into spirit at that time. I was a spiritual person. I was praying. I was starting to understand a little about meditation, but I certainly had no idea I was a medium. And I started having these dreams that I came to believe were little pictures of past lives that I had had. And so there were things along the way sprinkled in. But when things really got sort of different for me and I headed into mediumship was when I was in my 30s, so a little bit later, one of my sisters, well, first of all, let me say that I had this dream one night, and it really wasn't a dream. It was just, I was asleep and I heard a male voice, a booming male voice say to me, 10 more days.
Right.
I woke up and it was scary, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, am I only going to live for 10 days now? You know, I was terrified. I called one of my sisters. There are five of us, five girls in my family. I called my sister Mary, and she told me that she had also had a very strange dream. And the dream she had was that she was in a vehicle with someone she didn't know, and the person was driving really, really fast and recklessly. And she said she had this understanding in the dream that she was going to die. So we were both shaken, kind of let it go, move past it. And about 2 weeks later, Mary passed away. So, yes, extremely unexpectedly.
How old?
She was 45.
Goodness. So she preempted the fact that she knew she was going to die, and then she didn't know she was going to die. Oh, wow.
So we were both given warnings.
Yeah.
You know, something's coming. And for her, it was her. I think sometimes our soul knows things that our mind doesn't know. And sometimes it leaks some of that information, you know, to help us so we understand. It was kind of like I saw it as a bit of a heads up. And I had that happen another time in my life, too. But I want to tell you first about what happened with Mary, because, of course, we were all devastated when she, you know, passed so unexpectedly. And she had, you know, children, and her youngest, her daughter, she was 11 and she's my goddaughter. And it was a lot for everyone, as you can imagine. And a little bit after that, I'm going to say it was probably September, because I can still see what I was wearing and when this occurred. I was asleep and I became aware of the room. So it was as if I was outside of my body looking at myself in the bed, looking around the room, and I saw my sister Mary come walking into the room. And she had two souls walking behind her. I never saw their faces. They felt like males to me. And I saw this light around them. They stayed back a bit. She came over. She sat on the bed. We held hands, and I could feel her hand. And as I was in this experience, I was looking at her. But at the same time, I could also see the scene as if I were standing in the doorway, seeing her on the bed and seeing myself. So we had this conversation. And one of the things that she said to me was that she needed to go on her journey. There was a further place she needed to go to. And I don't remember exactly, but I know it had to do with, you know, understanding or like education. There was some place she needed to go and do something for her own self. And then she said, I want you to know, because if you don't feel me, I'm coming back. Oh. I'm just doing this, but I'll be back and you'll feel me.
Yeah.
So that was a really big thing that happened for me that made me very curious about what is actually happening. What is this, you know, this, what I think of now is the spirit world and the idea that we continue, because that's what I was receiving the most, is the idea that I haven't really lost Mary. You know, she's still there. It's just, yeah.
It's interesting because my best friend called Elizabeth.
Oh, no kidding.
died when she was 41, 42. And absolutely devastated. Her son came, I took on her son and everything. That wasn't the thing. But which really interests me when you talked about Mary was, I remember being in a supermarket soon after she passed, and I saw her running down the aisles and playing peekaboo with me. Like,
wow.
I'm here like this. And then, like you say, she disappeared for a while. Yeah, she wasn't around my energy or anything. And then she started coming back in different ways, maybe a year or so later. It was a while before she came back. So I really hear what you're saying to me. I absolutely, totally believe. And is this what's in your book? Because this is what you write about.
It is. But what happened was, you know, with a lot of other things happened along the way. This is all over quite a number of years, but, you know, I became a medium, and eventually I started channeling, and it started off with some clairaudience where I was hearing some, you know, some words and phrases, and I had a little bit of clairvoyance. I've never been great at that, but I can see sometimes. And we started channeling. That's why I say we. It's my husband and I. We've been partners in this all along. And he does not communicate. He does not do the communication, but he's, you know, sort of my stability in that, my grounding force. And so it's really like, it's easier for me to communicate when I'm with him.
Yeah. You know, hold that moment. We're just going to hand over to our sponsors. And then we come back, we'll go straight into that.
Gotcha.
So everyone, you're listening to Feng Shui Your Way with Janine Lowe here on UK Health Radio. We'll be back just after a moment with Kathleen Rudyard-Dehan. I've got, as we explore her spirit guides and her relationship with past lives and how her husband comes into all of this.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. So sorry to have stopped you mid-flow, but please tell us about you and your husband and how you work together.
Oh my gosh, no problem at all. Yeah, you know, there's just, I can communicate sometimes when he's not there. If my sisters and I are all together, we'll all get together and I'll communicate. We get to talk to Mary. You know, she comes and talks to all of us and my nieces, and it's always the girl group for some reason, all the women in my family. And I can communicate, but it comes much easier with Idan as my husband. When he's with me, there's a partnership there. And, you know, we've learned a lot together. And after I started channeling, we had so much information that I felt relieved of fear, you know, about anything about death. And also, my grief was going away. And I had also lost my mom. And that was like, that was just such a deep wound that I didn't think that would ever heal. But I started to lose that grief. And I thought, you know, this is like important information. And the information was really that you are never going to die the way that you're thinking. You know, you're going to step from this room into another room. That's as dramatic as it is. It's simply the soul moving on. And there's nothing that can kill you. There's nothing that can harm you. Your true self is your soul. It's not this body. And, you know, you're going to continue. And everyone you love is too.
It's interesting. My other best friend, it was a horrible time. She was dying the year after. It was a really horrible time in my 40s to lose two of them. And one of them, both of them died of cancer. And one of them said, just remember, I'm just through that other door. I'll come back. And she did. I had her daughter. So one had a son, one had a daughter. The daughter is really weird now because she's in her 30s. My friend died at the end of that. And she went on with her. It's the same. But the thing that used to happen is if Lulu wanted to speak to me about Emma, she'd come through her music. So when you're talking about they come through, how do they come through to you?
I have that connection with music too. And it's mentioned in one of my books, it plays a key role. Different songs will play and I'll know someone's with me.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I was really, you know, I was channeling as in like people were speaking right through me. My husband's writing it down. We have notebooks somewhere that, you know, in the beginning we thought it was so important to keep all the information and eventually got to the point where we realized, you know, we don't really need to refer to it. Like we understand it. But I came to the conclusion that I wanted to write a book about this because I wanted other people to know, you know, that there is this information that set me free. And so I decided to write about it. I'm not any kind of expert on the afterlife, on reincarnation, any of these things. I've only had some information shared with me that gave me peace. And so I decided I'm going to write this in a book.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I wrote it as a novel, but I wrote it all out so that the bones of the book are the concepts that I was taught in mediumship. So there's two of them in this category right now, these books I'm writing, and they're about two soulmates who travel together through lifetimes. And the first book, we meet these two souls and they're in the spirit world and they're making this decision to incarnate. And then it goes into what happens in their lives. And it's not an easy path because it isn't always an easy path, right? I mean, we know that life isn't always a straight line and it isn't for them. But I talk about, you know, their connection is so strong that, you know, they find each other. They're always, they always sort of find their way back to each other. And one of them passes early, and I won't, you know, spoil anything, but the other one does learn how to communicate. So it's all about the journey of the soul. And so that's what that book is about. And then the next one, the latest book that I just came out with, it's called Meet Me in Heaven. And this is the same two souls, but in new bodies. So they've been born here again, and they've come back. One of them has come back to people that he knew here, and the other one goes elsewhere. And so they're born far apart this time, but it's about their how they find each other and what their lives are like.
It's funny. I totally believe in all this. And I remember a very good friend of mine, and we met for the first time, and it was like, oh, my goodness. It was as if we knew each other straight away, and yet there was a large age difference in us. And we said, okay, well, maybe we've given a password to each other, you know, that we would say from the other world coming back into this world. So we both had to say the word exactly the same time. We both said pyra and both fist together. And yet, so I totally believe it. And, you know, that we had never met before. There was nothing. We were in suits. We were in business mode, everything like that. This is, I don't know, back in 2010. So that's really interesting. So you based it on what you've learned from mediumship and how you, so although you've put it into a fictional story, the thread through it is real. Am I right?
Yes.
I think that's a very interesting thing to have done. So when the people connect with you, do they connect through, you can hear them, feel them, see them?
I don't see them as often as I used to. I used to see them just in my mind's eye. Every once in a while I get that. But that tends to be the thing that happens right as I'm going off to sleep. Have you had those little dreams like a spirit visits? It, for me, it's always right as I'm dropping off and then boom, there's someone in front of me. It's one of my friends or my loved ones. And I'm like, wow. And you get this picture perfect. It's your person and they're flawless. They look exactly the same, but there's no, you know, worry lines. There's no, you know what I mean? It's that, which of those are my favorite kinds of communication, but I can't control those. Those just happen when the spirit wants to do it. But when I communicate intentionally, I started off by hearing. So I still sometimes I will simultaneously, someone will be speaking through me and I'll hear words at the same time. Or they'll like correct me, something's coming, and I'll go, oh, it's about this, you know? It's a little weird, I tell you. It is
I know. So I was doing some looking into everything, and it said you also have a spirit guide called Standing Bear.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about him.
So Standing Bear is from a past life. And he was the first person who channeled through me. And I had been dreaming. I kept seeing this man on a white horse. And it would just pop into my dreams all the time, this man on this white horse. And the first time I started to channel, it was really rough the first time. Like I felt like I was kind of, you know, choking, pushing the words out. And the full sentence that I finally got that first time was, "It's me on the horse." And he's telling me, he's been letting me know. And then gradually through many different sittings, I came to understand that he is personally connected to me through a past life, but that he stays close to me in spirit. So he's like, he's right here. He's not, you know, he's very protective. And he's part of my family.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, so what would you say to somebody, this is throwing it out there.
Sure.
Who's had the experience like you, but starts to worry about it and then closes it down? Because I think we all get given these opportunities. My mum used to be, obviously, you know, I get them because you can tell because I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah. I can just remember my mum would, oh no, I'm not having anything to do with it. And yet it's such a gift to be able to have this connection with the other side, I feel.
I agree. And I have been through all of that. I was raised Catholic. And you too? Yeah. I left the Catholic Church when I was in middle school. Like I was sitting with my mom one day and what the priest was talking about, he was talking about the kids and, you know, in a derogatory way. And I said to my mom after church, I don't feel like I fit here anymore. Like, and she was like, I agree, like no problem. And she wasn't raised Catholic. So she had taken that on because she married my Catholic dad. But there were parameters around things about what you can do and what you can't do. And some of those things were taught in CCD, the idea of the devil and demons and all of that. And, you know, as much as you try to get all that out of your head, when you're raised that way, it's you're in the back of your mind, right?
I would never go into a grape vinery because they used to say the devil used to come out of the vinery when I was a little schoolgirl. So I got really frightened by all of that. So yeah, I know what you mean about the Catholic religion. The way I was brought up, like you, with nuns and that. So yeah, so you went off from that, and what did you go from there?
You know, I've had these, like when I was first opening up, and I did get scared. A few times I got really scared and said, why is this so easy? You know, that I'm talking, like these people are talking to me. And it was just, I don't know, it set me back a few times. And in the beginning, I had to learn, like, I have to draw the lines, what I'm going to accept and what I'm not. And very early on, I had spirits trying to wake me up, to talk to me and tell me, can you tell my so-and-so, and can you talk to so, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was a little bit freaked out by it all. And I had to learn to just say, okay, I'm only doing this when I am sitting down with the intention of doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowing anything else. And we do have spirits that serve as gatekeepers. So I had to talk to that spirit guide and say, I need you to do this and not be allowing people to come in. And I only want people who are here because they know us one way or another. They're either our family, our friends, or they're teachers or guides. And so sometimes like a guide will come in or a teacher and just start talking. And I don't know really who it is, but as soon as I feel like they align so perfectly that they speak in very, very quick sentences, and they're everything they're saying is love. It's all wonderful things. It's like I don't feel threatened by it.
Yeah, because one of my questions is going to say, how do you know the difference between loved ones and spirit guides? But I think you've just answered that really well, because the energy comes through in a different way, doesn't it?
It does.
I think that's really good how you said, you know, you've asked your gatekeepers to make sure that nothing comes through that you don't want. And I think for our listeners, you know, that is a really safe thing to do, because, you know, not that you wouldn't be trained in it, and I know only certain people can become mediums, etc., but really interesting. So we're just going to hand over to our sponsors, and when we come back, we are just going to talk about the things we haven't actually managed to talk about yet, how you become that people can work with you as a medium and a channeler. So after the break, we will be back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So one of the things that I was working out here or looking into, it says your books have become incredibly popular because they offer hope to people grieving loved ones. Tell me more about Before We Were Born.
Well, so before we were born, really, I think it's important for people because it feels like the, so I've created these characters that feel like they're your next door neighbors and they're going through these situations in their family. And then, you know, there is still this connection to these people after they pass on, like their presence remains. And there's just this overall sense of like, you know, knowing that life is bigger than you think it is. Love is greater than you can imagine. And all is well in the world, even when you're in pain, even when I'm not trying to take away from anybody who's is going through this loss, because I know what it is to lose someone you love very deeply. And I know what that's like, that it breaks you open, you know, and it's a long time before you can start to kind of open up to the idea that, you know, they're probably doing just fine and they're maybe trying to get through to me in some ways. I'm just saying, when you're ready to hear it, when you're ready to think about it and feel it, they are there. They're close to you. There's nothing that is keeping you from talking to them. You may not hear them back, but if there's anything you need to say to someone who's passed over to spirit, they hear you. You know, every time we speak to them, they hear us. The soul is so much bigger. It's bigger than I can imagine. And I've had lots of conversations about this, but they are able to, regardless of where they are, what they are doing, they're multidimensional in a sense, so that they can be here as well and hear what's going on. And they're watching everything you do. They're aware of it. You know, if you're, you know, you've graduated from college and your dad wasn't there, you know, he was there. You know, he was there. You just couldn't see his physical presence. And I just think these are the things that I was taught. And I feel like it's important and powerful to be able to carry that in your heart and know that this connection between the two of us has not been broken.
And I think you're 100% right. I mean, it's a really funny thing that, well, it's not funny, it's just a sentence I've said, but I always think when people pass, like your mom or your dad, I always say they start to move the furniture upstairs for you. So things start to happen more for you because they're on the other side and helping you. And often I found like when my mum passed, things started to become, you know, as things that I'd wanted to happen is as if she was helping me the other side. When my dad was on the other side, he absolutely helped me. My two friends, absolutely. So I know that what you've said is exactly true, that my connection to them and being able to talk to them is good. I'm not a medium, I'm not a channeler, but or anything like that. But people close to me, I think that's really important to get that message over that they haven't gone anywhere. They have just gone through the door.
Yes.
Yeah. So your other book, Meet Me in Heaven. I love the title, by the way. I love that. It's just amazing. I can just see it, you know, meeting all the people that I haven't met. Although for me, it'll probably be about a dozen cats or, you know, because I do rescue cats and actually they'll all be at the gate waiting for me. Hi, Mom. What inspired that part of the book, the follow-up book?
Well, these two soulmates who travel together, they meet in the spirit world in between. And the spirit world, they call it their white garden because the woman, their spirit names are, the woman is Callie and her partner is Ilya. And they have this little cottage in the spirit world that they've created and they bring things from every life they've lived together into this home. And, you know, so there's references to like they were, you know, in Italy and whatever time and different places. And like she loves white. She loves the color white. And so he creates all these beautiful white, different kinds of flowers and plants and trees. And he's created this beautiful garden for her inside a circular stone wall. And they like to walk in there and be there together. And when they're children in the first book, before we were born, they're separated because the boy is born to a woman who is an alcoholic. And so even though they plan to be born at the same time and on the same street, he picked this woman just because she was close and he knew we'd find her. But she was an alcoholic and he was born with fetal alcohol syndrome. So he's set back from the start. And then his mom is just very sick. She loses control with this her son. And he gets taken away by the services to be put into foster care. And so they're separated. It's a very traumatic thing for both of them. And they start dreaming of each other in the White Garden. They start seeing each other. And so they still can connect even when they're, you know, completely apart. And that's someplace, that's like the place they go. And so that's kind of what I drew on in the second book, Meet Me in Heaven, because these two, no matter what happens, they know at the end of it all, when the play is over and the, you know, costumes have come off, they're going to be right back there together again. They're going to go back to their White Garden and they're going to tell the stories of the things that happen.
So for our readers, and you've written for our readers and for the listeners, what do you want the takeaway from it to be all about?
Mostly, it's just how great love is and how sometimes things don't unfold the way you think they're going to, but that doesn't mean that it's not going in the right direction. And that doesn't mean that you're, you know, not with the right person or you're, you know, you've misstepped, because I think that life is a rocky journey. And it is in the first book for these two. They have a very difficult time. And then, it's easier in their next life. The boy isn't born with the fetal alcohol syndrome. And he kind of lives out the dream that he had in his last life, was he wanted to be a veterinarian. And he becomes that in his second book. But the idea is that, you know, life continues. And we get to participate in it in, you know, the manner that we want to participate in it. And we don't lose each other no matter what. There's nothing that's going to end your connection to somebody.
I love that. I really do love that. So where can people learn more about you and where can they find your books?
Well, I have a website. It's called spirit-fiction.com. And there's more, you know, about my books on there. And, I always tell people if you can buy my books on Amazon. And that's that. I appreciate it. I appreciate your interest. But if you are looking for a signed copy, reach out to me through my website. I'm always happy to do that.
That's lovely. And do you do readings for people? Or is that it's close family? I felt that's what you were. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it is.
So finally, Kathleen, or Kathy, as I'd like to call you as well. Sure. What's the best message that Spirit could send you?
That you are eternally loved.
Yeah.
You're always going to be loved. And there are people that love you that you don't even remember that are on the spirit side. There are guides who love you so deeply. My experience with this woman, Elizabeth, she has never come through in a channeling, by the way, that I'm aware of. But she was certainly some kind of a guide for me. And I felt her love for me. And I wasn't feeling love from anyone then. Not that they weren't. I was just, it was my state of mind. The best message is just, you know, you're more than you think you are. They tell me all the time, you're bigger than you think you are, you know, and your spirit extends beyond your body and it's touching everybody that you touch as you walk through your life. And, you know, if you have, you know, love in your heart and you make the decision, this is what I'm sending out today, this is my intention, you are literally healing other people. You're helping the world.
Oh, I love that. I so love that. What an inspiring conversation. Kathy? Mm-hmm. Journey reminds us that sometimes our greatest challenges become the doorway to our greatest purpose. Whether your beliefs lie firmly in spirituality, you're simply curious, or you're experiencing something you can't quite explain, I hope today's program has encouraged you to keep an open mind and perhaps even open your heart to trying new possibilities. My thanks to you, Kathleen, for joining me today and for so sharing everything in such a easy to understand way, you know, and what shone through to me was love, just so you know.
I'm happy to hear that. I really enjoyed speaking with you, Janine. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.